Again, it's good to see each one of you here tonight, and also those who are on live streaming that you've come and joined us in this worship service tonight. And I ask and pray that you be mindful of Gary. I think about the energy that he has and the desire to serve the Lord, and it's infectious, and I appreciate that. So I look forward to the things in which the Lord has impressed upon him. So please be mindful of him tonight and give him your kindly attention, our brother Gary.
Okay, how's that? There we go. Thank you, my lovely wife. Well, I was trying to pull one off on you guys. It didn't work out so well for me. I was trying to come up here with kind of a bad attitude and not really feeling up to the occasion, but that's not the case. You guys know how I am. I like the kid. And I was anxious to be here tonight, and I'm excited to be here. And I'd like to greet all those that are live streaming. It's good to have the opportunity to, again, to reach out everybody that's watching and viewing in because of reasons that you can't be here, and it's a wonderful opportunity. So hopefully all those that do have Wi-Fi that you guys did turn it off, so there's not a lot of glitches going on for the people that are on the other side of the screen. So, again, I'd like to thank everybody, and I was going to do my awful impression of somebody that is not up to the occasion because I really look at the opportunities that we have to be a light for Christ. And I look at all the things that we can do and the endeavors that we can embark on to be able to reach out to others, to help them out and to strengthen them in their life. And most importantly, to uplift them. And Gordon knows me and he knows my attitude. And I always look at the positive side of things. And, you know, that's who I am. That's my personality. That's my characteristics. And I try to portray that which gift the Lord has given me. So I always look at the cup as being half full and not empty. So again, I'd like to thank you for having the opportunity to speak. And, you know, we've been going through the last week and a half, almost, no, 2 weeks now. And there's been some kind of big event going on. I'm sure everybody knows about it. It's been on TV. And is anybody aware of what's going on TV and pretty much on every night? Does anybody want to take a guess? Oh, Stephen got it. The Olympics. I could read lips, too. That's the Olympics. And, you know, I've been really kind of focused on that and spent some time watching that. And I really look at these people and the things that they put themselves to achieve these goals and these goals in their life that they want to be number one in what they do. And that's quite an achievement. I got to give those people a lot of credit for going through all the physical, all the mental and struggles that are incorporated with that, because it is a lifelong obligation and discipline that they do. And, you know, I see some of the struggles that they do have, some of the injuries that they come into. There's been quite a few at this Olympics, and I think it's just because people are pushing themselves so hard to the limit that their bodies can only take so much and their bodies actually start to fail. We see that. And it's really interesting to me because people have the determination to push themselves to that point to where they're actually literally breaking themselves to try to achieve this accomplishment and to be the best in the world at what they do. And by no means am I capable of performing at that level or do have the desire to. But I think that my desire is to be able to perform at a level that God finds appropriate, that he finds of his interest and of his desire. And that's where I look and see that, you know, these people, how they can be lifted up and they can do and accomplish those things, I think the same as us, you know. And the Lord, he has a plan for each and every one of us. He has goals for us in our lives. He wants us to achieve and to accomplish those things so we can lift him up and so we can praise him and so we can testify of his love that he has for us. And I'm strongly encouraged by that. I'm actually encouraged by the athletes that we do see on there too, because, you know, they put a desire in my heart to be able to know that, you know, if this one individual can go out there and he can dedicate his life to doing what he desires and loves the most and be able to accomplish that goal and to be rewarded for that, I feel the same way in my heart about, you know, the love that I have for Christ and knowing the love that he has had for me and being able to go out there and to wake up and to take the challenge on every single day and to make that my priority, to make that my goal, so I can accomplish those things that he has put before me. And, you know, we all receive reward for those things that we do. We all receive that which we bring unto ourselves. And I would like to encourage each and every one of us this day to be able to go out there, to work hard, put forth your effort, to do those things that the Lord has put on your heart and has given you in your mind, you know, those tasks, those people that you need to reach out to be able to take those things and to know what the Lord has for you and to do it to the best of your ability. It can be difficult at times. It can be a struggle. Last couple weeks have been very busy for me with doing work here at the church and going with the young people to the river, filling in for a brother that was sick, taking a Wednesday night worship or prayer service, and here I am again tonight. You know, I just kind of feel that the Lord is preparing me to be able to go through this and to be able to have the capability to stand up and to speak about those things that he has given us in our lives, those blessings and the things that we should be testifying about. And to be, I don't want to stereotype anything, but to be an Olympian for God, you know, to really to receive that reward and to see that reward and to see the goals that how we can accomplish him with him is totally possible, and we're totally capable of doing it. I know time is limited in our lives. You know, that's another thing that I've experienced recently with the passing away of my father, that, you know, it comes to my realization that life is truly short. Life is not there forever, but there is everlasting life. There's a difference between the two. And, you know, being as a child, you know, it seemed like life was going to last forever. And recently I just turned 44 and, you know, pretty much I'm halfway done. And, you know, I probably got about 35 good years left in me, and then things really probably start going awry. And I'm going to have a lot of struggles. And I'm going to rely on my brothers and my sisters to be able to carry me through those difficult times. But while I'm young, while I'm strong, kind of, and while I have the ability to do things, I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. And I think that the Lord knows that. He knows the desire in our hearts, and he puts us to the test. He puts us to the test every day and puts those goals in, or those challenges in front of us to see how we do, to see how we perform. And I think it's up to us to make those choices, to make those decisions, to work at them as hard as we can to the best of our ability. And there's a reason for it, and that's for eternal life. And so, you know, there's none other that took on those challenges more than Jesus Christ. And the example that he set for each and every one of us, the things that he endured, the places he went, the people he dealt with, the trials he went through, none of us have ever had that experience as he did. And it's such a wonderful thing to know that through him, we have the capability to be able to overcome all those challenges that he went through. And I wanted to start off tonight, and I wanted to read in Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, and just let everybody know I turned off my Wi-Fi, so I'm not going to get in trouble. But I hope that it is making a difference to those that are tuning in, so that would be great. Again, it's Luke chapter 11, verses 33 and 36. It says, "No man, when he lighteth a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, the whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give the light." And, You know, in today's day and age, we don't really use candles too much, but I brought an example. This is a handy little tool. It's been a long time now since I actually had to use this thing. We traveled to the Grand Canyon. Oh, that was when Eric was 5, and Eric is 9 now. So that was 4 years ago. But traveling down to the Grand Canyon, we were at Havasupai Falls, and it was, you know, there was no lights there, and we all had to have our own lights and our gear that would help us prepare for where we were at. But this was a really a neat little tool here that I had, and, you know, I invested a little bit of money into it, and it was a nice little light that I can hang from a tree branch or a string or a paracord, and to be able to broadcast a light. I think it was 30 square feet of light this thing would put out to where it would illuminate and help you be able to see where you were at. And I wanted to use this as an example tonight because, you know, I've never preached on the light of Christ as far as this example goes. I've seen it preached many a times, but I never had the opportunity myself. So I thought this would be a good time for that. And, you know, if I was to put something over this, a bushel over it, and cover it, you know, you could see quickly that the light is not shining bright. But, you know, when it's up and it's in its proper position, the light is broadcasted and it does its job. And that's, you know, what I wanted to bring tonight is that, you know, when we're in our proper position, when we're doing those things in the right manner, what the Lord calls us to do, when we're acting accordingly to God and following His commandments, we're going to be able to broadcast that light. People are going to be able to see that light. And, you know, we've heard many testimonies and stories about one that I just remember very recently was our brother Jim Jr. and how he was talking about when he was out camping and he was with his son Chase and they were up, I think it was Nathan also, if I'm correct. It was Chase, they were up on a mountainside and there was nobody around for miles and Jim was driving down a dirt road miles and miles away and they had a little light up there on the hillside and he could see them. He called them up on the phone and said, "Hey, is that you up there on the mountainside that I see way out there?" And sure enough, it was. So, you know, a little light can make a world of difference in somebody's life. And it could be a beacon to somebody that needs that guidance in the direction to go to the right place. And that's why I wanted to kind of express to each and every one of you that we're a light for Christ. And if our light is shining, and if we're portraying that which the Lord has given us in our lives, and testifying it and sharing it, how that could be a beacon to others, how that can draw others in and give them that direction to go to on the right path. But our hearts and our minds and our actions and those things we say and speak need to be in the right place or else our light goes dim and people aren't going to be able to see that and are not going to be drawn into it. And that's what I was kind of thinking of with the sermon was that, you know, I want our lights to be so bright that when we're out in the world, that we're literally, like, attracting everything to us. You know how when we turn on a light in the middle of the night, we were recently at the teen camp, and when these bright lights are on in the middle of Missouri, everything flocks to it, all these giant bugs and everything. That's my desire, that we have a light so bright that, you know, people are flocking to us, that we're growing, that we're seeing the work of the Lord touching the others, the people's life and lives and others that are around us. So it does bring light into their life. And that's what the Lord calls us to do, to work for Him, to get that ability to focus on those goals that we need to take on those challenges, to be able to get those accomplishments in our life to help others. And so others can see that and that we can testify of that, that the Lord has helped us accomplish those things. And we can do all those things with Christ in our life. I'm going to read that. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, if you'd like to turn there. And this is where it all begins. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And that's Jesus Christ. That's the life and the light of men is Jesus Christ. And I desire that all of us have him in our lives, that we have that line of communication open, that we're speaking to him, that we're receiving him, and that we're not only just receiving him, but that we're portraying him, that we're working unto that perfection that our brother talked about and spoke about this morning, that we have that desire to stay on task and to follow the footsteps. And Brother Gordon laid it out very plainly for us this morning. Do those things that the Lord called us to do to be able to receive eternal salvation and to help others in their life. I'm also going to read in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. So this is 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. It says, "This then is the message which we had heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And this is one of the things I want to talk about tonight is the truth of the gospel and how we have to submit ourselves into speaking the truth. Even though we might put ourselves in a bad situation, even though we might strip ourselves with pride, which is a good thing, and that we feel that we're not being the person, a strong person that the world desires us to be, and confessing us of our sins and expressing ourselves in a way that might show weakness. How important is that? And is that truly a weakness? It is not. It is what the Lord calls us to do. And if we are deceiving ourselves by saying we have no sin, then we're already starting off on the wrong foot. I know every single day I struggle with sin. It's one of those things that all of us deal with in our lives. It's one of those things that can take control of us in an instant and take us down the wrong path in a heartbeat. You know, and that's what I would like to share with you is that, you know, the sins that I have committed in my life, you know, that's something that I've learned from. And as I continue to commit sins and to do things and say things I shouldn't do, you know, those are things that I have to approach the Lord about. You know, if my frustrations and my anger get the best of me, I have to be willing to admit that. You know, I'm a strong person, but, you know, I don't want to be that type of a strong person. And I encourage others to look at yourself in the mirror and don't be that type of a strong person. Be the type of the strong person that is willing to admit the mistakes that they made. You know, willing to put those things on the table if they're in confrontation with their significant other, with their loved ones, with their children even. You know, humble yourselves in that manner. Be a strong person in that manner. Show that, you know, you are willing to take the steps that the Lord called us to take to be what he desires us to be. And there is no weakness in that. That's how we grow stronger. That's how we grow closer. That's how we show our love for one another, is by following those steps. I'm going to read in the second book of Nephi. I'm going to read a few verses here. It's going to be chapter 11, verses 95 and 96. And I'll read a few more verses after that. I'll let you know after I read those. But I did not put the page down, number down, so I apologize for that. It says, "For behold," verse 95, chapter 11, second book of Nephi, "For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. And I'm going to read in verses 113 through 115. "And he inviteth them all to come unto him and to partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. And you know, the Lord invites every one of us to come unto Him. There's nobody that He desires to not reach out to. He cares for each and every one of us. He has a desire for all those to be able to turn their lives over to Him, to draw themselves unto Him, to look at His light and to see that it's good, that there's no darkness in it. It cannot exist. And with Christ in our lives, we can remove that darkness out of our lives. We can have that light, and we can share that light to draw others unto Him. That's what God uses us for. That's why we are called to be His servants, each and every one of us, not just the ministry. You know, He gives us that capability to speak those things that can strike people in the heart, and to have meaning, and to have emotion, and to have understanding, and to show that we care. And each and every one of us have that capability. And the Lord gives us those tools and those instruments. He gives us those capabilities to be able to soften a heart, to be able to open a mind, and to have people listen, and for their eyes to see. He gives us those abilities to do those things. And we just have to put those things into practice. We have to see that, you know, when we hold up this light, that we're holding it high, that we're not hiding it. Because the world, they want us to do just the opposite. They want us to be like them. And, you know, that is just the opposite of what God calls us to do. So I would ask, and I would plea, and I would beg that you would think about those things. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses there, verses 15 through 17. It says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth accordingly to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." You know, he's not a respecter of person. He wants us to be able to work and to do those things that are for Him. And those are the things that we're going to be judged of in our lives. We're going to be judged of the work that we, the fruit and the labor that we put into doing His work. And we need to do that in a manner knowing that He is watching us. He oversees those things that we do. And it's kind of, I wanted to relate this to my job. And I love my job. And it's challenging, you know, and my brother Isaac, he always says, you know, they call it work for a reason. If it was fun, they would call it fun. But I actually enjoy my job and going to work because it's challenging. Now, I was thinking that about that on the way here. I was listening to a radio station that was talking about retirement. And I was like, you know, it'd be nice to retire. But then again, I really enjoy working hard and doing those things that I do and seeing the rewards of that and being able to provide for my family. But at the same time, you know, I'd like to retire because then I can do what the Lord really has a desire for me to do. So, you know, if I was to go out and play the lottery and win the lottery, I would just say that the Lord put that in place so I could go preach the gospel throughout the whole world. But that's not the case, you know. And we live in a reality that we have to work hard. But also, we have to work hard in our spiritual lives, too. And like I said, every day could be a struggle. But every day could be an exercise for us to gain strength. And, you know, as we work and as we apply those spiritual things, the things that God gives us in our lives, we're going to grow stronger in that and be able to do those things. And He's going to judge us of those things. And He's going to see that we're strong. And He's going to know that we are being fruitful for Him. And I'm going to bring that to another point here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And this is where I want to go back to Olympians. And, you know, I really respect, even though, you know, they are really looked at and idolized by a lot of people a lot of times, I respect the fact that there's Olympians out there that the first thing they say when the microphone goes to their mouth is that they give thanks for God for everything that they were to accomplish. And I would say that, you know, if I was put in any situation probably, like with the media or anything like that, even if it was something completely irrelevant to any kind of goal or achievement that I had in my life, I'd probably give thanks to God because I know it's being aired publicly and everybody can hear that. And that that I wanted to use that as an example that, you know, showing ourselves and those things that we do in a humble manner is very important. And, you know, some of the Olympians that we see, you know, they're lifting themselves up and they're feeding off of that and their pride, and they glorify in themselves. And, you know, that's just something that the Lord calls us not to do. And he calls us just to do the opposite. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, I wanted to read that. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." I'm going to also read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Again, you know, this is Christ telling us that, you know, when we do things, don't lift ourselves up. Don't put ourselves on a pedestal saying, "Hey, here I am. This is what I did. This is what I accomplished, and I did it for this reason." No, do it humbly before the Lord. You know, don't break our arm patting ourselves on the back. That's not what it's about. The Lord calls us to do these things to help each other out in a manner that is pleasing unto him. And not to have glory of men, but to know that the Lord sees and looks down upon us and sees those things that we do, and that we do them because we know that it's for him, to glorify him, that we give him all the glory in the things that we do, and in the people that we touch, and the lives that we change. So think about those things, you know. Think about how there's people in the world and how they would like to lift themselves up at any situation they have, how in our workplace that, you know, they take credit for things that they don't even have any part in. You know, we know people like that, and people do things like that, that they'll be instantly there to take all the credit, and they'll want all the credit just because it makes them look that much better. But we know that the Lord calls us to do those things and to be discreet about it, and to know that, you know, he is going to reward us. We're not going to have the rewards of, you know, being lifted up by our co-workers or the media or anything like that. But we know that the Lord sees that which we do, and he's going to lift us up for that. And that goes with Lehi's vision and the mocking finger in First Book of Nephi, chapter 2, verses 70 through 76. And it says here, "And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree of life, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And also I cast my eyes round about, and behold, on the other side of the river of water, a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth, and was filled full of people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those which had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them. And they fell away into the forbidden paths and were lost." And this is what I want us to focus on, is the path that where the Lord takes us to, and not to be deterred by people that look down upon us for doing those things, for being kind, for being passionate towards one another, for humbling ourselves and putting God first in our lives. It's very important that we remember that as we walk through this life and see those things and those challenges that are out there, knowing that if we stay steady and on the course, the Lord's going to lift us up. He is going to give us the reward in which we do deserve. So I'm going to read in the book of Ether, chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. And this is a few scriptures to be able to help us through those difficult times when we could feel, you know, the pressure from our peers coming down upon us and looking at us and staring at us and singling us out, and when it could be difficult in those times. It says in Book of Ether, chapter 5, verses 27-28, "And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto you, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them." You know, in my life, I've had a lot of difficult times to where being a man and being strong and putting up the walls was the first thing I did. And having to tear down the walls and become weak was very difficult for me. But I've noticed and I've learned that when I do that, I actually become stronger. I build stronger bonds in the gospel. I build a stronger relationship with my wife and with my kids, and I put myself down to lift others up. How that makes me stronger, knowing that, you know, I am what the Lord called me to be. I am being that person as He was, that He gave an example of how He showed us to be and how He put Himself in that position. And it is truly encouraging to be able to see the rewards of that and how your relationships become closer and your bond becomes stronger, not just within your families, but also with God and spiritually. How it makes you a stronger person to where people that are mocking you and giving you a hard time, that doesn't mean anything to you anymore. As I say a lot of times when I get in those situations, it's water off a duck's back. You know, it just flows right off. They can say whatever they want. They can think however they want, but it's not going to affect me. I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm going to have that focus and that strength that the Lord gives me, but most of all, the courage that the Lord gives me to be able to stand up for what is right and to do those things He calls me to do. And I'm going to read that in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." And I love having a sound mind. You know, when especially things are very difficult, having a sound mind is a very difficult trait to acquire. And it takes time, and it takes patience. As I spoke of in our Wednesday night service, I really feel that I have gained quite a bit of ground on my patience or my impatience, and have been able to put that impatience aside and to have a sound mind and think about those things that I should be saying and doing in those moments that are very difficult and very frustrating. So I encourage you to have that courage and to know that the Lord is your helper. He is there to lift you up and to carry you through those difficult times. I'm going to read in the second book of Nephi, chapter 8, verses 90-94. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto the wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto the mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, their root shall be rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." And so we know that the Lord, He has judgment for everybody, and He's given a very good example that is for those people that put darkness as a light and the light for darkness. You know, everybody's going to receive their reward. Everybody's going to stand before the judgment bar of God and be judged of those things. And I literally fear for those people that think that in this life that can glorify themselves and be walking through this life full of pride, you know, the day that they have to stand before the Lord and be judged of those works, because I would not want to be in their shoes. And so I have here, I want to go to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. You know, some of the things that we should be doing in our lives to help us through and to help us grow and develop our traits and to understand that those things that the Lord has for us. There's a few good verses here in chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only," you know, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word. As I speak these words to you, go out there and apply them. Put these words to the test. You know, in Alma chapter 16, the Lord tells us to put His word to the test. Treat it as a seed, as you would plant the seed and put it to the test and nurture it and watch it grow and see those things that are good and the fruitfulness of it that comes from it. It says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And that's, I put a lot of trust in that, and I put a lot of hope and a lot of faith in that, because, you know, the Lord's given us a promise, and if we stick to it, if we don't focus upon ourselves and think about ourselves all the time, we're going to get the rewards that the Lord has so freely to give. We're going to be blessed, not only in this world, but in the life to come. And so I have here, trust and act accordingly. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, I'm going to read a few verses there. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And I kind of giggle at this because, you know, how true it is. You know, the Lord knows what we're capable of doing, and we know that. And the Lord gives us those examples or those challenges in our life, and He sees and He watches us, and He wants to see how we react. Are we doing those things? Are we taking advantage of them? Or are we just kind of going our own way and doing our own thing? And that's where I really want us to focus on is that, you know, the Lord tries the reins. He knows what we got going on in our lives. And sometimes he'll pile our plate full. You know, sometimes He'll take some off of our plate and things will be easy. And I've noticed lately that my plate's been pretty full. And I actually appreciate that because, you know, it's another one of those life's challenges. And I'm sure our brothers that go out in the field and do this work for the Lord, I admire the work that they do and appreciate it because, you know, it's like looking at an Olympian. I'm not trying to make you guys feel all great and warm and fuzzy, but it's really something that is an accomplishment for the Lord and His work. When we can go out to nations, different countries, and our brothers, our apostles, can bring the younger guys, the ministry, out there to see the work and what they've done and what's been created that God has put in place. What a wonderful accomplishment that is. What a great thing to see. What a reward for the Lord. It's just, I can't fathom how much of the work that the Lord has done in this world from this little church and how much has been accomplished. And it's been more than any Olympian could accomplish. They touch many lives, but they never touched a life like the Lord would. And if we understand that, and if we put ourselves in that frame of mind, what a great thing to be able to see His work being done and Him being lifted up and receiving the glory for that which He does. I'm going to read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm not going to read chapters. You guys be here all night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses here, 14 through 24. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." That's my big challenge. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and unto all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." And that's one thing, really, you know, how quick we could quench the Spirit in our lives, you know. It just takes one word. It just takes one emotion, and it can instantly quench the Spirit. We got to be very cautious of that. That's what the adversary wants. He wants us to be able to lose that wind in our sails and just to give up. And the Lord wants us to be able to overcome that and to be able to rejoice evermore. And that's why I wanted to come here tonight and be a little sarcastic in the opening of the service and to come with a ho-hum attitude. But, you know, as I said before, that's not me. You know, I really love the opportunities that the Lord gives me. I really do strive to be a positive attitude, even in the most difficult of times. And it's challenging. But the Lord gives us our own personal tools to be able to help those that are around us. And I hope that this sermon tonight was a help to you. I got 10 more verses here, or chapters, scriptures, so just please bear with me. I'm just kidding. I'm going to read two more. I don't want to tell you how many because I don't want to hear books being put away. But I know how it is. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it says again, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And that's a place that is prepared for each and every one of us. And I'm going to read in Revelations 21, I'm going to read a few verses there of John's vision and when the angel took him up upon the hill. And I'm going to read a few verses there to express to you that light of Christ and what it truly is. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, then I'm going to jump down through 23 through 27, but I encourage you to read those verses in between because it's really neat to see what the New Jerusalem is. And it says in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And it goes on, there's a few more verses there that I encourage you to read, but I'm going to jump down to verse 23. It says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of all of the nations into it, and there shall be in no, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, nor whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that's the important thing to remember, that there's no darkness in it whatsoever. It is the pure light, and it is the pure light of Christ that He desires us to have in our life to shine, so that when we are judged for our works, we see that each and every one of our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that is my desire for each and every one of you. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your patience and the love that you have, to where you think about those things and you think about others and you think about the love of Christ that He had for each and every one of you. So thank you. And may God bless.